Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks. And as we take opportunity to come around your word this morning, we pray that you would speak. Lord, we ask that your spirit would abound. Lord, that you would move, that we would listen, and that we would sense what it is you're calling us to. Lord, meet us in this space, meet us in your word. To your praise and to your glory, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. It is good to be here, and it's good to be here, and it's good to be here. I've preached almost every Sunday of my life for the last 20 years until I got a job here. And so it's been nice to not be on every Sunday, but it's good to be here and to be able to share it with you this morning. Most churches I've been in, the sermon has been a big part of the service. The service divided between kind of music and message. And that's not the case here. The messages here are usually half the length I'm used to. I was a little concerned about that, and I was informed, I won't mention by who, John, what happens if I go over? And he said, well, as long as it's worth it, you might be able to go 5 minutes over. It'll be worth it, John. We'll see where the Lord leads. Fascinating image we have in what was read in the book of Acts. Peter stands, a crowd has assembled, and Peter begins to speak, and he begins to address the crowd. It notes that he raises or lifts his voice. The assembled crowd has provided Peter with an opportunity to explain the significance of what has happened. Pentecost has happened. The disciples have been told to go and to wait, and what they were waiting for has come. And Peter is beginning to explain. The Spirit has been poured out. And Peter connects this gift with Jesus himself. This man of God that was rejected by the Jews. He was handed over to be crucified. But that was not the end of this man who performed deeds of power and wonder, who had displayed signs and amazed people with his words. This Jesus God has raised up. A reality to which the apostles could testify. We have a reason to be excited. I'm not saying it is as true here of other churches I've been in, but sometimes our Sunday face is not our best face. I realize I might not get asked to do this again, so I'm going to take my opportunities this morning. Sometimes our Sunday face cannot be our best celebratory face. We have a wonderful gift in and through Jesus Christ, crucified, one of the children explained it so well, and raised up by the power of God, that we might have life. In this wonderful news, this wonderful message, Peter is beginning to unpack for those who have gathered. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up. A reality, again, to which the apostles could testify. A psalm of David, which spoke of deliverance from death, notes that he was not abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. Peter understood as applying to the Messiah, to Jesus. The words of Jesus resonating in the mind of Peter. Following his resurrection, Jesus had gathered with the disciples. And he had noted to them and said to them, opening their mind to understand the scriptures, thus it is written, said Jesus, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses or are witness of these things. And see, I am sending on you what my Father promised, So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. In the mind and heart of Peter, there is no doubt. Jesus has been raised from the dead and the Spirit has been given. There is no doubt in the mind and the heart of Peter that Jesus is the Messiah. Any doubt this morning as to who Jesus is and what he has done? And Peter is hoping to convince and encourage the crowd that has gathered as to what has happened. And that Jesus indeed was, is, always will be the Lord and the Messiah. Peter's message cut the crowd to their heart, and they implored, they asked what it was that they were to do. The reality that Jesus has come, the reality that he lived, died, crucified at the hand of the Jews, that God has raised him from the dead, that the Spirit has been given. What does this mean? How does this impact our life? There's a good question for us. What does this mean? For those of you who believe that Jesus lived, died, resurrected, ascended, and the Spirit has been sent, and that he's coming again, what does this mean today? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? The crowd begins to ask, what is it that we are to do in light of this news? And Peter followed the instruction of Jesus in the passage we read from Luke's Gospel. And he proclaimed repentance and forgiveness of sins with the promise of the Holy Spirit. This message is true for us today as well. I smile a lot. Sorry if you don't like that. I don't know that I remembered how to frown. People ask me why I smile all the time, and it's not always because of the person right in front of me. But I smile a lot because the reality of being forgiven is a reality I live with every day of my life. I am forgiven. I have been redeemed. I am made new. And I have a wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom I can come to in confession and find forgiveness. And live again as one forgiven, redeemed, set free, made new. And the very Spirit of God is at work in my life. And these aren't things I take credit for. But these are gifts given me by my Lord and Savior. And he offers this to the crowd that had gathered. And those who welcomed the message were baptized and they were added to the body of Christ. They became part of the new community. I am excited to come to church. It is Father's Day, and I did think, boy, I have to go to church on Father's Day, and I have to speak. But I'm so pleased to be able to come to church, because church is a place where the people of God, Peter refers to them in his letter as those set apart, a holy nation, depending on your translation, a peculiar people, those called from darkness into God's marvelous light. And those who believe, those who repent and believe, become part of this body of God. They become part of the family of God. And those who did, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, or the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. What does it look like to be devoted to this message which Peter has shared? What does it look like to be devoted to Christ? What does it look like to believe? One piece is that it means to become part of the body. We are the body. You are the body. Who will put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 2, as Kaylee mentioned, in verses 42 to 47, we get a glimpse into this interior life of this first community of converts. They devoted themselves to one another in profound in beautiful ways. They devoted themselves steadfast, in a steadfast manner, to this new community to which they were called. There's different things listed. I want to highlight one, but I'll mention the others in passing. One thing they devoted themselves to was the apostles' teaching. Instruction was an important part of this new community. The instruction would have included the teaching of Christ as we find in the Gospels, the application as found in the epistles, the grounding in the central promises of God in Christ. We would listen to the apostles teach, some of which occurred in or around the temple, some perhaps as they gathered in homes, but they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We can do the same. Much of what they wrote is here. Read. Learn. Individually, but also collectively. Get into the Word of God and learn what it is that they would have been learning as well under the teaching of the apostles. Secondly, they continued steadfast in fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, and it's a fellowship around the work of Christ. I want to give you a few other passages where this word is used. 2 Corinthians, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Philippians, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your, and depending on your translation, it might say because of your sharing or because of your partnership in the gospel. But the Greek word is koinonia, it's fellowship, because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. It's Philippians 1, Philippians 2, we find this. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any sharing, any participation, any fellowship in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And we find in Philemon, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. And in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I love coming to church. Wherever that came from, God bless you. I love coming to church because when we come to church, we're coming into the very body of Christ, which God ordained and blessed with His Spirit. And we enter into fellowship with one another to encourage and to edify and to equip and to build up each other in God Himself. This is a wonderful thing we get to do. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful privilege that is ours to have fellowship with one another in fellowship with God Himself. We became a family. They shared everything and had everything in common. They cared for and loved one another because they became one in Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. This is your family. These are your brothers and sisters. I'm new here. I'm also your responsibility. I'm your brother in the Lord. And I'm part of the fellowship of God's people. And we are one. To admonish, to encourage, to equip, to help, to love one another. One of the great gifts of the Spirit in Romans 5:5 is that the very Spirit of God pours the love of God into our hearts. We're to love one another. What did Jesus say? And I've got to wind down here. What did Jesus say? By this all men will know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have for one another. Fellowship, care, concern, depth in community. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They spent time together in homes, also mindful of Jesus when he broke the bread for them. And they devoted themselves to prayers. These gifts of fellowship imparted to us through faith in Christ, who gives us the one who then works these gifts out in our life, the very Holy Spirit, that we might live our lives to the glory of God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Christian fellowship is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God and Christ in which we may participate." God has created this fellowship. Fellowship in the name of the Lord. Lord, guide us to this end. We ask to your praise and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.